Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in here on a terrific Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that all is going well for you and that Jesus is living on the throne in your life, and that you are investing in your spiritual well-being today. That's a great thing. I saw something that a guy that I went to college with posted, and I don't know if he's the one that came up with it or not, but he posted there and he said something: if you do not take time for your wellness, you will have to take time for your illness. And I was like, wow, that's a very thought-provoking statement. And so I want to tell you that applies spiritually as well as physically. And so I want to thank you for tuning in today and making sure that you are doing well spiritually. I run across and have conversations with all sorts of people. And one of the things that I would like to ask parents is, you know, what is your metric of success? You know, what do you view as, you know, if you've done this, then you have been successful. And I know that there are people that they want them to be successful financially, and that's great. You know, you need wisdom there in the financial realm. Some people want them to do well academically, and that as well, that sets them up for success for their career. Some people want them to do well athletically, and that can help build their self-esteem and things like that. Other people want to do well relationally, but I want to ask, have you given consideration to how well your kids are going to do spiritually? I think it's a very important question, because that is, you know, the foundation that makes all of those other things work. There have been great athletes that weren't doing well spiritually, and it ended up destroying them. There were people who were doing great financially, but because they weren't doing well spiritually, it became an idol in their life, and it destroyed them. And so I just want to throw out there today, as a parent, make sure that your children are doing well spiritually. Get them into the Word of God. Get them into the house of God. And get them into a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ that will serve them well, and it will serve you well. So that's my little soapbox for today there on that topic. Today we're going to go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we may migrate into chapter 11 as well, but in Acts chapter 10, and verse number 46, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." So here they heard the people in Cornelius' house speak with tongues. The first thing that I want to say is speaking with tongues is not a merit badge. Too many times in church, I have seen people, and when they have spoken with tongues, they thought, well, that's it. I've checked off that box. So if anybody asks me if this has ever happened, then I can say yes, and I've got my merit badge. That's not what the purpose of speaking in tongues was. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, you will find that there were people who were the 120 who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the people around them who had come to worship from all over the globe heard them speaking the praises of God. Let me read it to you. And it's Acts chapter 2, verse number 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." That's not a merit badge. That was a sign from heaven that caught the attention of the people around them, and they heard them not cursing God, but declaring the wonders of God. So I don't believe that that the outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit is meant to be a merit badge. I believe it is meant to be beneficial to the church. If you go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you are going to find that the Holy Spirit pours out gifts to each one severally as he wills, and that the gifts that are given are for the benefit of the entire church. And so it's not so that you can sprain your elbow or sprain your shoulder, patting yourself on the back. No, it is God equipping us with another spiritual advantage to help us to be successful in reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are many people who are cautious of that. Look, I'm not here to try and force you to, you know, speak with tongues. That's not my job. I will tell you that it's a glorious experience, and it's nothing to be afraid of, because it's used to point people to Jesus. And so the Jewish people that were with Peter were amazed when they heard this, and it says they were magnifying God. The people in Cornelius' house, they were magnifying God. And the people that were there, they were amazed. Sometimes God moves by his Spirit to take the church to another level of spiritual truth. That's how we got to this passage in the first place, was Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." The Spirit of God was not only transforming Cornelius, his family, his friends, but it was also transforming Peter and his entourage. And in chapter 11, we will see that it's getting ready to transform the church. There's only one individual in all of the known creation and unknown creation that does not change, and that is God. But the church is constantly changing. You say, how can that be? Because Jesus said, "I will build my church. I will build my church." And so the face of the church, the people that comprise the church, all of those are shifting. The average church has to grow about 30% every year just to break even. You factor in COVID over the past 2.5 years, and you got to grow even more than that. If you're a pastor that's listening and your church is still healthy and your church is still growing, throw up your hands and praise the Lord, because there are a lot of churches that didn't survive. There were a lot of churches that the people isolated themselves and they never came back. And so whatever God has made available to us in order to magnify the name of the Lord and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to use every noble available means to reach people. I don't know why we would want to go into a spiritual battle and not have advantage of God the Holy Spirit. I don't know why we would want to do that. When the Holy Spirit is responsible to convict people of their sins, I don't know why we would want to say, no, we don't want God the Holy Spirit in our church services. I've never been able to wrap my head around that. Let me tell you how Peter responded when he saw God doing something he didn't know that God could do. It says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" The first thing that Peter noticed was that Cornelius, his friends, and his family were all exhibiting the same behavior that Peter and the 120 had manifested on the original day of Pentecost. On that occasion, on the day of Pentecost, it was unbelievers who were astonished at what the Holy Spirit was doing. Here in Cornelius' household, it's the believers who are astonished at what God is doing. And Peter's like, look, this is exactly what happened to us on the day of Pentecost. This is not just a flashback. This is God doing for them the same thing that he has done for us. There's a statement that has been made. I don't know who the one is that originally made it, but and the statement goes like this. The people who've exhibited a move of God, a revival, tend to be the critics the next time there's a move of God or the next time there's a revival. And a lot of times that's because it's not impacting them exactly the same way as it did before. Listen, I can tell you that I've had wonderful encounters with God that left me transformed, and I know what it is like to say, man, it would be great to go back to the good old days, the glory days, but we're not called to live in the past. The Spirit of God is not just to give us that click on the merit badge, you know, check sheet. It's meant to mobilize the saints and empower the saints and touch and change people's lives today. And Peter said, look, this is exactly like it. I recognize this. This is not something that they are doing. Listen, Peter hadn't even talked to him about the Holy Spirit other than to say that God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's all he said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took it from there. Then Peter says this in verse number 48. Acts chapter 10, verse number 48, it's the last verse, and it says this. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, I told you that before you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got to be a believer. The Holy Spirit wants to move in your life so that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to convict you of your sins so that you can repent of your sins, so that you can be forgiven of your sins. And then the Holy Spirit sets the stage. He takes up residence in your life, and he wants to have an ever-increasing role in your life. He wants to guide you in the truth of God's word. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes after a person is saved. We're going to throw in one more element here, and that is the necessity, the need to be baptized. Okay? Now, your baptism does not save you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not save you. Okay? I want to make that clear. But baptism is our response to the fact that Jesus has become the Lord of our life. So there are a number of people who want to baptize their children as young as possible. Different denominations have, you know, do child baptisms. The Assemblies of God doesn't do that. We do child dedications, which are really blessings upon the children and dedications of the parents. But there are some people that believe if you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. That's not found in Scripture. So what does it say about baptism? Baptism is something where we identify with Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. It is an act that we take after we have committed our life to the Lord. So once I've been convicted of my sins, then I say, I want to publicly acknowledge my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This step, baptism, in foreign countries, in cultures where they may not be believers historically, but people are accepting faith, this step is a big deal, being baptized, because it is not just identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a renouncing of any other faith. There's not a merging of these different belief systems that's going to get you to heaven. There's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And he's the only way. He is no one comes to the Father but by him. So there's a song that we sing. It's an older chorus, you know, one way, Jesus. That's it, one way, and his name is Jesus. And so when people across cultures, when they have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say, I want to be baptized, their families will try and discourage them, because at that point in time, they are not only renouncing their faith, but many times they are cut off and excommunicated from their families. And depending upon how radicalized their families are, sometimes they're even executed for putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. And it's baptism. So when Philip was taken from his revival and ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch that was the treasurer that was on his way back to the queen, and while they were out in the desert, that person had the gospel explained to them and became a believer. That guy said, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized right now? Again, baptism does not save you. It is the act of those who have been saved. And it is a public declaration. So at Merit Assembly of God, my favorite baptisms are beach baptisms. So whenever somebody wants to be baptized, we give them the opportunity to invite their family and their friends so that they can celebrate in this faith. Listen, I want to ask you, which would you rather have, an active drug addict or a person that was a drug addict that's been forgiven and is saying, you know what, I am clean, I am free, I'm forgiven because of Jesus Christ, and I want everybody to know that from this point forward, I'm going to live for the glory of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So the Ethiopian eunuch had a desire in his life that says, look, I've been saved for all of about 30 seconds, here's a pool of water. What prevents me? And Philip says, we can do this. We can make it happen right now. And as soon as that baptism was over, Philip was carried off by the Spirit onto his next assignment. So through the years, people have tended to look upon baptism like the vegetable beets on a salad bar. And I say this because I was just at a salad bar back in August at the men's conference, and the lady that was putting all of the things on there said, don't forget the beets. The beets are really wonderful. Well, the guy in front of me said, don't worry, I'm not going to forget the beets. And they ate them. And I said, you know what? You take my share of the beets. They may have I can't tell you that I've had beets in a long time. Maybe I should give them a chance. I don't know. A lot of people treat baptism the same way that I treat that very rooty vegetable. And that is, thanks, I know it's good for other people, but I think I'm going to pass on it for now. And you know, again, the thief on the cross, Jesus told him, said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. There wasn't a chance for him to get baptized. So you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but there should be a desire inside of you to be baptized. And I want you to look at in Acts chapter 10 at how Peter responds to it. And he says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I pray that you do not just have an encounter with God. I pray that you do not just have a tangential relationship with God where, you know, once a week you roll around and you come back and you have that little bit of time in the house of God. But I pray that your entire life is immersed in the presence of God. Because the more that we are changed as individuals, the more that people around us will notice that change and will say, what happened? And that's when we have the door to say, Jesus happened. It's not what happened, it's who happened, and his name is Jesus. And so if you go back, you say, well, that's Peter. Peter's not the boss of me. and that's okay. That's okay. I'll take you one more place. And that is in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he was ascended back to heaven. Not the last words. There's still many other conversations, but this is, you know, the last of the book of Matthew. And he said, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Shameless plug for tomorrow night's service is that we are going to be having our Wednesday night Fire Bible discipleship, because we are not just called to make converts, we are called to make disciples. Okay? And so you, as a follower of Jesus, should be becoming more like Jesus over and over again. It is the church's privilege and the church's responsibility to make disciples. We are not there as a form of entertainment, although the house of God is filled with the joy of the Lord. We're there to make disciples. Okay? You're never going to be able to compete on a church budget with the entertainment budget that Disney or some of those other corporations have. And you know, I will say this as far as our time management goes. When it comes to making disciples, you can't expect that to take place in one of the 168 hours of the week when the world is trying to make you a disciple of the world system, the other 167. There needs to be an ever-increasing value of God, or in immersion in the culture of God, that begins to starve the world system to death and feed your newly regenerated spirit. So you and I, we go and we make disciples. And this is what it says then. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the church has a mandate from Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, to baptize the nations, to baptize believers. And so we operate under divine mandate. That's why Peter could say, hey, I make a decree right now. These people need to be baptized. Now, here's the thing. You and I, we can, there doesn't have to be a disconnect between, you know, when you were baptized in water and when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. There have been many testimonies through the years. People said, look, I'm here because Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. He has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want him to empower me to live a godly life that glorifies my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They go under the water, they come back up, and they have an encounter not only with the water, but they get baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. It's a great and glorious thing. If you have not been baptized in water, I want to encourage you to take that step. You say, well, I was baptized as a child, but you know, I went and did my own thing. I've come back to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as an adult. What would you encourage me to do? Well, I would encourage you, if you've never taken that step of obedience on your own initiative, your parents took that initiative for you, I would encourage you. It's not a mandate, but I would encourage you, say, you know what? I want to make that my own declaration. This might come as a shock to you. My kids weren't perfect. It shouldn't come as a shock because their parents weren't perfect. And I know because I'm not perfect. Every one of my kids had reached a stage in their life where they could explain why they wanted to be baptized. And they were. But later on in life, after they had blown it a few times, they said, you know what? I think I want to do this as an adult too. I would encourage you, be immersed in the presence of God. There's nothing to regret in that experience. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.